Happy Mother's Day to everyone, especially the mothers. I do have several things to mention, so let me see. First of all, the prayer list. We have a couple additions to the prayer list, actually three of them. First one is Roy Durham, whom many of you folks will know. He's a friend of Charlene and Glenn, but many of you will know him. He had a lawnmower accident and is badly burned. He's in the hospital in Louisville. In addition to that, Pat Hager, again, had a fall, broke both legs, and she is in surgery at this moment, I understand. So be in prayer for her too. And then Maddie Horn will be having shoulder surgery this week in Prestonsburg. So now that the softball season is over, she finally agreed to fix your shoulder. So be in prayer for these folks. I didn't mention last week, but if you notice that Chuck Gibson is able to see you better, it's because he had cataract surgery on both eyes a week ago. Well, both in the same week. So
why not look better, but not look worse?
It still looks pretty good. And then, of course, there are some changes on your prayer list that you can read about. And don't overlook those. And one other announcement. It's an announcement, an invitation for the church to celebrate graduation for Cole Barnes on Saturday, May 24th, and I'll put this on the bulletin board, or I'll have somebody put it on there, and you can all view the invitation and this beautiful picture of Cole. 24th of May. Well, a new pope was chosen this week to guide Catholics all over the world. A few months earlier, a new president was chosen to preside over American citizens. Before long, we'll be selecting a new governor and mayors. This process is never ending because people, no matter who they are, people come and go. There's only one leader who will never need to be replaced, and that one is Jesus Christ. He was, He is, and He always will be. And just as believers did 2,000 years ago, we honor Him at this table with emblems of the body He gave and the blood He shed for our salvation. He gave what no one else could give, a perfect, sinless sacrifice to pay for all of our sins. And believers all over the world today are joining us in remembering that sacrifice and giving honor to Jesus Christ, the leader of every Christian on earth.
Be zombie number 2 from 4.
Father, every morning we're able to get up and get out into the world and come, and even today, and come and be in church. We ought to be grateful. And Lord, we are grateful for this day. We are grateful because we celebrate our mothers on this day. And Lord, we ask that you bless every mother that's here and even the ones throughout the world. I know that some of us don't have our mothers to be able to talk to anymore, but we do have the memories that we made with our mothers, and we cherish those also. And now, Lord, we want to thank you for your son, Jesus, and for what he done for us. And we partake of his emblems, which he gave his blood and body for us to have freedom. And we partake with gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Thank you.
Dear Lord God, again, thank you for this day you've blessed us with. Thank you for our mothers that are here with us today and those that are in heaven with you. We also want to thank you for every gift that you provide us with. We ask that you bless this gift and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will you turn with me to hymn number 340? Number 340. Let's turn then to hymn number 151 and sing Faith of Our Mothers. Thank you. Prayer hymn is number 371. Let's turn to that and sing all four of the verses. It's just a little chorus. God is so good. Our dear Heavenly Father, what a wise and wonderful life you've arranged for us. To be drawn together by love into families, and for the members of those families to cling to one another, even as they grow older and separate and form new families, yet retaining the love for those who first gave us life. Honor thy father and mother, you've wisely charged us. For this will prepare us for an eternity with a heavenly family. With you as our eternal father, who gives us everlasting life because you love us. This day was set aside for special honor and appreciation to our earthly mothers. And we humbly confess that none of us is perfect. We all have sinned. And even parents have their shortcomings. But motherhood is a high and holy calling with great responsibility. So we try in our clumsy way to pay tribute to mothers today, thanking you, Lord, for blessing us with their loving care. And praying for your help in following the wisdom that we've learned from our godly mothers. But above all, we offer our praise and gratitude to you for your mercy and the hope you offer through Jesus Christ, your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. want to read a passage of Scripture from the book of Proverbs. This will be read in many churches today, I guarantee you. But it's the 31st chapter of Proverbs, and if you have a Bible there, follow along in chapter 31 of the book of Proverbs. Because the heading on this section of Scripture says, "The Wife of Noble Character." And what the thing is, the book of Proverbs is just full of short little wise sayings. It's full of ideas that will make us wise if we follow them. But there are so many of them, we almost get lost in the details. So Solomon, in closing his book, sums it all up, I think, in this final passage, portraying wisdom in the person of a mother. And I think that's appropriate for today. Beginning in verse 10, he says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." We'll be looking at those words on this Mother's Day. But first, let me ask you this. Have you heard about the new Survivors show to be aired this fall when the new season begins? You haven't heard of it? So let me explain it. It's quite different. 6 men will be dropped off on an island. Each man will have 1 minivan and 4 kids to take care of for 6 weeks. Each child, of course, plays 2 sports and either takes dance lessons or music lessons of some kind. There's no access to fast food. Each man must take care of his 4 children, keep his house clean, review all their homework, complete science projects with them, cook, and do laundry. Now, these men have access to TV, of course, when the kids are asleep and when all the chores are done. But there's only one TV between them and no remote control. Now, they have to be able to get a four-year-old to eat green beans. The men must shave their legs and wear makeup every day, which they must apply themselves while making lunches or while driving. And they will be judged on how well they can make an Indian teepee with 6 toothpicks, 1 tortilla, and a magic marker. The winner gets voted off the island and gets his old job back. Now, that's a bit of foolishness, of course. And here's some more foolishness that's a little closer to home and reality. Some time ago, Peg Buchema of Nyack, New York, collected the responses of several elementary school children. Some questions were asked them about mothers, and these are some of the answers. I got a kick out of reading them. I thought you would enjoy them too. First question was, why did God make mothers? And the first child answered, she's the only one who knows where the Scotch tape is. And another child said, mostly to clean the house. Why did God make mothers? Third child said, to help us out of there when we were getting born. The second question was, how did God make mothers? And one child said, he used dirt just like for the rest of us. Another one said, magic, plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. As the third child said, God made my mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. And then the other question was, what ingredients are mothers made of? And one child said, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world. And one dab of mean. Another child said they had to get their start from men's bones. Then they used string mostly, I think. You wonder where they get these ideas, don't you? Now, the last question was, why did God give you your mother and not some other mother? And one child answered, well, because we're related. And one child said, God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. Well, moms are great, regardless of whether we understand them all the things about them. But moms are great. In fact, when God wanted to give us a picture of what real wisdom looks like, he chose the portrait of a mother that we just read. God said, if you want to know how to really fill your life with wisdom, do it like a mother. And the opening verse of that passage, a wife of noble character who can find, she is worth far more than rubies. That sets the tone for the rest of the passage. But if we want to be truly wise, we should try imitating some of the mothers that we have known. Because I've known some really, really fine mothers. First thing about it is, if you want to be as wise as a mother, you need to be a team player in these first verses of that passage. He says, that she is a woman of noble character or a woman of strength. She has strength of character that takes her and her family through the hard times, and that's a picture of real wisdom. Wise people are morally tough like a mother, so much more that they're a help to the people around them. They're trustworthy teammates in this relationship called marriage, and they can be counted on to help, not hurt, that relationship. Her husband, Solomon says, has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She makes her husband look good. Anybody experienced that here? I imagine you have. She does him good and not harm. In other words, she's an asset to her husband, not a liability. She's his teammate, not his opponent. She's not belittling him. She's not berating him. She's not getting laughs at his expense, except maybe once in a while. She's on his team doing whatever she can to help him be his best. Somebody once said, behind every great man, there is a greater woman. Someone he depends on. Someone he can trust. And, you know, I feel that very strongly. I'm thinking of a couple that I used to know. They're both deceased now. But I always felt uncomfortable when I was visiting them, the two of them together. Separately, they were very enjoyable. They were very active in the church, and I enjoyed them very much. But when they were together, they made me uncomfortable because he rarely ever said anything complimentary about her. Anytime he referred to her, it was a criticism or a put down or a joke of some kind. And I never heard him say, as far as I can recall, I never heard him say one complimentary thing about his wife. And I thought that was very strange. That's not the kind of person we're talking about here. We're talking about someone who appreciates their mate and gives help and strength. So a worthy person, a wise person, should be a team player like a mom. And also, they should work hard like a mom. Any moms here that work hard? Oh, don't be so modest. Come on. We have to put forth effort to make a difference in our family and in our world. A wise person works hard like a mother. And it's pretty well known that mothers have a tough job. Solomon says she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. So don't forget the servant girls. The mother prepares food and clothing for her family. Now that's standard procedure pretty much. She also, he tells us, she tends a garden. The mother prepares, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. So she not only prepares food and clothing for her family, but she also tends this garden, buying it, planting it, harvesting it. She's a busy lady, but her hard work pays off, you see. she makes a profit, and her home is secure. In addition to all this, Solomon says she makes clothes from scratch. From scratch. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. I don't know what a distaff or a spindle is, but they have something to do with making thread. This woman worked hard just to make her own clothes. She couldn't run down to the local Joann Fabrics and buy some fabric and take it home and run it through her sewing machine. She had to start with making the thread and then weaving that into cloth and then sewing that by hand. But this lady he's talking about is making all of her clothing from scratch, not only for herself, but also for her family. And she also makes clothing for the poor. He says she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She's a busy lady, isn't she? You know anybody like that? I'll bet you do. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. That meant she made them good clothing, high quality. She didn't shortchange the family. She gave them the best she could. And she didn't shortchange herself either. She made fine clothes for the poor, clothes for the family, clothing for herself. And she made clothing for her husband that helped him to be respected in the community. Her husband is respected at the city gate. That's where the elders of the city would meet to make decisions. Her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. So he wasn't too scrubby looking to be respected in the community. She made him look good. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. That's where she got the money to buy that garden plot. Ingenious. She worked very hard, providing for her family, making clothing, helping the poor. Now, most moms, I guess, don't make their own clothing anymore, or clothing for their family. It's too easy to run down to Walmart and find some there. But mothers still worked hard to take care of their families. Sometimes even when they don't feel like it. I heard about a 15-year-old boy who was, it was getting late in the afternoon, he was getting hungry, so he hollered for his mom, and she said, "I'm up here." So he went upstairs and he found her lying on the bed. He said, "Well, Mom, are you sick or something?" She said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I'm not feeling too well." He said, "I'm sorry, Mom." And he became very concerned. Then he said, "But don't you worry a bit about dinner. I'm getting pretty big now. And I'll be happy to carry you down to where you can get to the stove." Even though she wasn't feeling well, she still had to cook dinner. And that's what most moms would do, I believe. They work hard whether they feel like it or not. It's a picture of true wisdom at work. And if we want to be truly wise, we need to work hard like most moms do. Somebody said the only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary. Now, every mom knows this. That's why she works hard to take good care of her family. So we must be team players. If we want to be wise, we must work hard like a mom, and we must live godly lives like a mom. This mom not only clothed herself with fine linen on the outside, but she clothed herself inside with strength to withstand great forces and with an inner beauty that instills respect. She doesn't worry about the future. He says she can laugh at the days to come. Why is that? Because she's trusting in the Lord. I heard about an earthquake several years ago where the residents of a small town became very much afraid. They didn't know what to do. But there was one old lady whom they all knew, and she was surprisingly calm, even joyful. And one of them said to her, "Mother, are you not afraid?" She said, "No, I'm just happy to know I have a God who can shake the earth." Well, that's a godly lady. And that's what I call living well. Wise people, like this mom, have godly character. And more than that, they have words of wisdom. Solomon said she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. We could talk a long time about what mothers teach their children, but you know as well as I do, the majority of what they learn comes at home. She teaches them to love God, to love people. That's what wise people do. Through their words and their actions, they teach the law of love. They live well with an inner strength of character. They live well with words of wisdom. They live well because they're diligent. They're attentive to what they're doing. She watches over the affairs of her household. Does not eat the bread of idleness, saying, there's no idleness in this lady Solomon's talking about. She's attentive to what her family needs, and she takes good care of them. So, my friends, if we want to be truly wise, we will be respected. She says, Solomon says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I saw something on Facebook one time. It said, what's more beautiful than freckles? And the answer was wrinkles. This mom is praised by her family, praised by her husband and her children. He says she's the best of all women. She's praised by the leaders of the city. Is it because she's beautiful? Well, no, not necessarily. Is it because she's charming? No. Verse 30 makes it very clear. She is praised because she fears the Lord. That means she knows and trusts the Lord. She lives in obedience to the word of the Lord. And that's a secret, really, to everything else. The secret to being worthy, and the secret to being noble, and the secret to being wise is to live for the Lord. It's our relationship with Him that makes all our other relationships right. Back in 2001, I read this little story I thought was interesting. There was an Australian woman named Hajni Ban. She was 5 feet 1 inches tall. And she decided she was tired of being short. People made fun of her. And she was convinced that her short stature was the reason nobody took her seriously. So she thought there was nothing she could do until She found a solution in Russia. According to an article in the Times of London, Russian doctors agreed to break both of her legs in four places, stretch them slowly for 1 millimeter each day for 9 months. And then after all the breaking and stretching, she wore plaster casts for 3 additional months to make the changes permanent, and the whole process only cost her $40,000. In the end, she gained 3 inches. Did she gain the respect she was looking for? Well, she thought she did. She became a city councilwoman in Australia. But even so, she had to admit, she said, I know I'll get wrinkles, and I'll put on weight, and I'll even shrink as I get older. So we'll see what happens. But she found a way to be taller. But I can tell you a better way to be taller in people's eyes. That's to go to your knees before the Lord and learn to fear Him. Because Jesus Christ died for us and rose again so we could have a relationship with the living God. We don't have to do anything to make ourselves taller in His eyes. In fact, we can't. What's left for us to do is to trust Him and obey Him. And we will find wisdom, we'll find respect and honor. So if you want to be truly wise, then be like a mom. Work hard. Be a team player. Live godly. And you'll find honor with the Lord. To put it simply, trust and obey Him. We're going to sing our invitation hymn this morning, which is number 439. And if there's a need in your life for the presence of God, we'd urge you to step out and claim His promise. Let's stand while we sing just the first and last verses. Well, treat your mom right today at least. And happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Thank you, gracious Lord, for this blessed hour. Help us to be aware of the persons you send into our lives to help us. Certainly our parents are first and foremost among them. But there are others for whom we thank you also. And above all, we thank you for the constant and unchanging love and patience and grace you show us in your Son and our Savior. For we pray in His mighty name. Amen.
Take the name of Jesus.